morning and welcome to our service this morning, and happy Mother's Day. We're thankful for all of our mothers and just sad that you're not able to be with us here in the auditorium this morning and not able to express our love to you as mothers and giving you a geranium as we have done for many decades here in our church. That's been our tradition. Not able to do that this year, and that saddens us, but we do want to wish you a happy Mother's Day. In Ezra chapter 8, we read concerning Ezra calling the children of Israel together, and there was a revival taking place and a recognition of sin and repentance, and they asked Ezra to read the law of God to them, the word of God. And it says, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They expressed reverence for God as they stood when the word of God was read. They expressed praise to God as they lifted their hands up to him, but they also expressed humility before God as they bowed their heads to the ground. And so as we've come together to worship this morning, I trust that we'll have that same reverence, that same desire for praise, and that same humility before God. So let's prepare our hearts for worship. Father, as we come together this morning, we do so in reverence for you, recognizing who you are. We come together this morning to give you the praise and the glory that you deserve. But we come, Father, in humility. May we truly bow our heads before you in recognition of who we are before a holy God. We thank you for your Son. We thank you that we can come into your presence, into your throne of grace in his name. And we rejoice today in who you are. Again, we thank you for our mothers. May they have a special day today. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So thankful that we live in a world today where we're told you need to stay home, but we can still meet. Thank the Lord for technology in that way. And thank you for being here with us this morning. Let's worship God together in song.
Breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is His unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. The Lamb who was slain, and worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, and worthy is the King who conquers the grave. And worthy is the Lamb who was slain, and worthy is the King who conquers the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Dear Heavenly Father, what a truly amazing grace that you bestowed on us through Jesus Christ. We did not deserve it. We were sinners against the Holy God, enemies, children of wrath, sons of disobedience. Yet in your grace, you loved us and you sent your Son to die on a cross of Calvary for us. And we're here today to celebrate the grace of Jesus Christ. And we thank you so much for that grace, and we thank you for our mothers, Lord, and all that they have done for us. It was not easy for most of them to raise us. We were rebellious at times. But we need to honor our mothers and our fathers, and we thank you so much for that. So today, Lord, as we sing these praises, may they come from our heart. Fill us with your Spirit to worship you in spirit and truth. Honor and glorify you in all things. And may this service change our lives forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Lloyd just prayed it, but it makes me think for a moment how mothers can be so gracious. I had a moment last night where one of my kids got in trouble. Can you believe that? One of my kids got in trouble. Happens once in a while. Must be they take on their father's side. But anyway, one of them got in trouble, and we were sitting at the table with him and looking at him, and I just felt that sense of justice that needs to happen. And my wife, his mother, got this look on her face that said, you know what? We need to take it easy on him. Thank the Lord that he has looked so much down from heaven and at me, his child, and said, we need to take it easy on Mike. Thank you, Lord, for that, because that's exactly what I need. Lord, I need you. Lord, we need you. Let's sing this song together. One, two, three, four.
Lord, I come, my confess, bowing here, I find my rest. sin runs deep. Your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me.
Just sung of our need of you. And certainly we are needy people. Because of our sin, we needed Christ. We needed a Savior. And you met that need in sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. And indeed, He is our only defense. He is our only righteousness. For it is through faith in Him that His righteousness is put to our account so that we might stand before a holy God. We thank You this morning that You have indeed provided that way of salvation for us. You've provided that victory over sin and death through faith in Jesus Christ. And we're here this morning to worship You, to worship the Savior. We thank You for that privilege. And Father, as we've gathered together in this fashion this morning, I pray that we would indeed be able to focus our attention upon You, to have a singleness of heart and mind as we would worship You this morning. And Father, we do pray today for our church family. We just pray for good health as we are faced with the coronavirus. We just ask that You would put a hedge about Your church here and that we would continue to enjoy the health that You have given to us. We just pray, Father, for that continued blessing upon us. We pray for our community, for our county, ultimately, Father, for our state and nation. We'd ask, Father, that You would just give wisdom to those in leadership. Pray that they'd make decisions based upon that which is right before You. Help them to humble themselves before You. And Father, as we gather together this morning, we do so for a desire to give You praise and glory. And as we said earlier, may we have a proper reverence for You as the holy creator of the universe. May we have a desire to bring praise to You with that singleness of heart and mind. Father, may we indeed humble ourselves before You, not being lifted up with pride, for pride will indeed cause us to become defensive, pride will cause us to not see sin in our lives. And Father, we need to acknowledge that sin. We need to confess our sin to you. We need to accept your forgiveness. We thank you this morning, Father, that as we do come, we are able to study your word together. Christ has given the invitation, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will indeed give you rest." And Father, we seek that rest this morning. May we come to you. May we lay our burdens aside and find rest for our souls in Jesus Christ. May we take his yoke upon us and learn from him, the one who is indeed meek and lowly. May he be our teacher and we his disciples as we are followers of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, as we do again come for worship this morning, may you be pleased with our heart and with our worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burden. Lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. O wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart. Come as you are. There's hope for the hopeless in all those who stray. Come sit at the table, come taste of the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can cure. Lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. O wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart. Come as you are. Come as you are.
Thank you, Lloyd and Larry. Certainly we can come as we are and lay our burden at the feet of Christ. We don't leave the same. We come as we are, but we leave changed as we lay down our burdens before him. Again, our emphasis today on Mother's Day. And we sent out a flock note this week asking you to send a video in wishing your mother a happy Mother's Day, and some of you took advantage of that, and so we've put together a video to show those who have wished their mother a happy Mother's Day. And so enjoy this video for just a few minutes of those wishing their mother a Mother's Day.
Thank you. Hi, Mom. We love you. We're thankful for you and everything you do for us. We appreciate you. Happy Mother's Day.
Hello, everyone. We are just sending a message to wish a happy Mother's Day to Ellie Kinsman, also known as Mom, Mommy, and now Grandma to our newest addition, Finley Benjamin Ryan, who wrote a poem but has requested that I read it because he's shy. For everything that you have done, for always being there, for never giving up on me, for showing me you care, for all the cherished memories of times with my best friend, for teaching me that there's a thing called love that has no end. For everything that you've done, for all that you still do, thank you, Mom, for everything. I'm me because of you. We love you. Happy Mother's Day,
love
Mom.
You, Mama.
Hey, Mom, just want to wish you happy Mother's Day. I love you, and we love you. What do you say to Grandma?
Bye.
What do you say, Grandma, Jojo?
Happy Mother's Day, Mommy.
Happy Mother's Day.
We love you.
We love you.
Happy Mother's Day to you.
Happy Mother's Day to you.
Happy Mother's Day, dear Mommy.
Happy Mother's Day to you.
We love you, Mommy.
This message is for Joanne Shikona. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Thank you for everything you do. Sorry we can't be together this year, but this flower's for you. I will plant it. We love you and miss you. Have a great day.
I love you. I appreciate the godly influence you had in my life.
Hi, Mom. I love you. Happy Mother's Day.
Mom, you have such a servant's heart and you're a true prayer warrior. Thank you for that. I love you.
This is a three-generational tribute to moms. First of all, my mom, Glenda. Thank you, Mom, for being a great example and your love and care through the years. Secondly, the love of my life and the mom of my children, Laura. Thank you, honey, for all the work and diligence you put in for our kids. And thirdly, the moms of my grandchildren, Ashley, Kristen, and Megan, thank you for the love and care that you're giving to those sweet little grandkids. I hope you all have a blessed and happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. Just wanted to give a tribute to June Crawford for being a mother in the Lord and starting Noah Wheeler on his journey to Christ. Have a happy Mother's Day, June.
The floor is dirty. The latrine is trash. None of you even showed your faces today. What is going on?
Oh, hey, Ma. Happy Mother's Day. I just want to tell you how much I love, miss, and appreciate you. And thank you so much for instilling in me a hard-working ethic. Isn't that right, man?
Yes, yes, sir.
Get on your faces.
Yes, sir.
Bye, Ma.
Happy Mother's Day, Miss.
Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day.
You like you.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
Hi, Mom. Last fall, I forgot to put a fence around your azalea. This winter, the deer decimated it, so I owe you one. Happy Mother's Day. A new azalea.
Happy Mother's Day to one of the most fun, giving, kind, selfless grandmas and moms we could ever ask for. We love you, and we hope you know how loved and treasured you are today. Happy Mother's Day.
We love you, Mom!
We love you, Mom!
Happy Mother's Day, Mom, from me and Heidi. We're thankful for you.
Hi, Mom. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
We miss you and wish we could be there, but we hope it's amazing.
Yeah.
We love you.
We love you, Mommy. You're the best mom in the whole universe.
Sting for us here in the auditorium, we saw the video, we couldn't hear a thing. But I'm told that you could hear it online, so that's good. And we're thankful for those who sent in a video so that we could enjoy that. If you didn't send a video in, you can feel guilty for the rest of the day that you didn't wish your mom a happy Mother's Day, I guess. But anyway, thanks for taking part in that, and we will just continue to enjoy our Mother's Day.
All right. Well, before Don comes with a message, we'll sing Blessed Be the Name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. May we do that in our worship here this morning, Lord.
Turn with me this morning to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. As you read the Gospels concerning the life of Christ, we find that John the Baptist was the forerunner to the Messiah. As the forerunner, he was to prepare the way for the Messiah to come. And as he prepared the way for the Messiah, he proclaimed, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Christ himself, when he began his earthly ministry, he preached, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." In Matthew chapter 10, Christ sent out the disciples, and when he sent them out, he said, "Go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This indeed was the message early on in the ministry of Christ. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And indeed, the kingdom of heaven was at hand, for the King himself was present. Christ presented himself as the King of the Jews. He presented himself as the King of the kingdom of heaven. Unfortunately, the Jews rejected their king. They did not accept Jesus as the Messiah. They did not accept Jesus as the King of the Jews. And chapter 11 of Matthew serves as a turning point in the ministry of Christ. As the Jewish people rejected their king, we see in chapter 11 of Matthew three evidences that the Jewish people were rejecting their king. In verses 1 through 19, we see the evidence that the king's forerunner was rejected. In verses 20 through 24, we see the evidence that the king's works were rejected. And then in verses 25 through 27, we see that the king's message was rejected as the nation of Israel rejected Jesus as their Messiah, as their king. So as we come to verses 28 through 30, which are familiar verses to us, we see that Christ begins to change his message. It's not the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and the message is not so much generally to the nation as a whole, but he turns more to the individual. And we see this invitation in verses 28 through 30 is to individuals, not to the nation as a whole. It's not that from this point on, Jesus doesn't minister to the nation or doesn't preach to the multitudes, but we really see a turning point. No longer from this point on does Jesus preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he begins to concentrate more on individuals. And so we see this invitation given to individuals in verse 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. As we consider these verses, he says, take my yoke upon you. And I see three yokes that we are to take upon us, the yoke of Christ, but it's the yoke of submission, it's the yoke of service, and the yoke of study. The yoke of submission, the yoke of service, and the yoke of study. As I thought about what to preach this morning, this past week, and what the Lord would have us to look at, I just kept coming back to these verses in light of celebrating Mother's Day in the middle of a pandemic. And God just kept bringing my mind back to these verses, and so we want to look at them this morning, that yoke of submission, that yoke of service, and that yoke of study. These verses we've looked at in the past. This is not anything new, but they are reminders to us at this time. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you again for the opportunity to meet together. Thank you for the opportunity of studying your word together. I pray that as we look at these verses before us this morning, we would be refreshed, recognizing that we can have rest for our souls, but also challenged as we take our Savior's yoke upon us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When you think about a yoke, the very nature of the yoke and the picture that it presents is a picture of submission. Have you ever tried to put a yoke on a wild animal? It doesn't work so well. You need to put a yoke on an animal that has been tamed and trained and is submissive to you putting that yoke on. You don't take a yoke out into the middle of the woods and try to find a deer or a bear and try to put a yoke on that wild animal. You put a yoke on an animal that is submissive, one that's been tamed and one that's been trained for that yoke. And so when Christ says, take my yoke upon you, he is asking for our submission. We can't put the yoke of Christ upon us unless we are submissive to Christ. And so this invitation really is one of submission. He is inviting us to submit ourselves to him. As he gives this invitation, it's to all those who labor and are heavy laden. And his promise is that he will give rest to those who labor and are heavy laden. The question we need to ask is, what is the labor, what is the heavy burden that he speaks of here? The word labor, or perhaps your translation uses the word weary, the word itself means to labor to the point of exhaustion or to work to the point of weariness. And so it's talking about very difficult work, very difficult labor to where you are exhausted, where you become weary through the work. It is in a tense that refers to that which is ongoing. So it's an invitation to those who are continuously struggling and exhausted, those who are continuously working to the point of weariness. The word heavy laden here simply refers to a very difficult burden, a heavy burden. It's in a verb tense that refers to that which has happened in the past but has present results. And so the thought is that this heavy burden has been placed upon an individual in the past. And as this heavy burden has been placed upon this individual in the past, he now continues in the present to carry that heavy burden. So as you put these thoughts together, it's the idea that this heavy burden has been placed upon one, and he continues to carry this heavy burden, and he's weighted down by this heavy burden, and he is becoming exhausted and becoming weary of carrying this heavy burden. That's the one to whom this invitation is given. But what is the heavy burden? What is the labor? What is the exhaustion? I believe in the context we have to conclude that the heavy burden that he's talking about here is the burden of trying to earn your way to heaven through your good works. And as you try to earn your way to heaven through your own good works and through your own self-righteousness and through your own self-effort, it just becomes a burden that you become exhausted carrying, because deep down in your heart, you know that your good works are never sufficient. You have that doubt that you're doing enough good works to make it to heaven, and that guilt of sin is still present, and you're weighed down with that burden of guilt and that burden of sin and that burden of doubt and just that burden of self-effort, and just never able to really conclude that you've done enough. And so it's a ongoing, continuous burden that we carry when we're trying to earn our way to heaven through our own good works and through our own self-effort, because that burden of guilt and sin is never removed. That burden of doubt, that burden of self-effort is never removed, and we become weary and we become exhausted in carrying that burden. Indeed, the Pharisees, and Christ mentioned this on several occasions, during his ministry, the Pharisees had placed a heavy load and a heavy burden upon the people of Israel. They came up with all kinds of rules and regulations, and they taught that if you didn't abide by these rules and regulations, you could never enter into the kingdom of heaven. You could never go to heaven. And so this burden was placed upon the people, and the people, as they tried to abide by all the rules and regulations, they knew that they were never measuring up. And so they had this burden of self-effort, and this burden of never measuring up, and this burden of never meeting all of the obligations, and then this burden of sin and this burden of guilt and this burden that I'll never make it to heaven. And Christ says, "Come unto me. I'll give you rest. You'll find rest for your souls." He asks for submission. He asked for them to trust in him. He asked for them to take his yoke upon them. And he asked them to just trust in him and submit to him, rather than in your own self-effort trying to earn your way to heaven. Allow me to get you to heaven. Indeed, he says, cease from your own works and trust in my work. And we know that his work is that he died on the cross for our sins. And through faith in him that we could have our sins forgiven, and we no longer have that burden of sin and that burden of guilt, for our sins are forgiven before a holy God. And we no longer have that burden of self-effort trying to earn our way to heaven, for Christ has died for our sins, and he has imputed his righteousness to us. He has placed his righteousness to our account, and we are now holy before a holy God in Jesus Christ. And so we find rest for our souls. No longer the burden of sin, no longer that burden of guilt, no longer that burden of self-effort, no longer that burden of doubt. Am I doing enough? For we can know that we have eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And that burden of doubt is removed as we place faith in Jesus Christ. We repent of our own self-effort. We repent of our own self-righteousness. And we submit to Christ. And we submit to his righteousness. We submit to his work. rather than depending upon our own works. Hebrews chapter 4 addresses this very subject and again emphasizes that we cease from our own works, and through faith we trust in Christ, and as we cease from our own works we find rest, Hebrews chapter 4 tells us. And so the burden of doubt, the burden of sin, the burden of guilt, the burden of self-effort is removed as we take upon us the yoke of submission, that yoke of Christ, as we submit ourselves to Him and trust in Him as our Savior. As believers, we can make an application here as well. We know that the interpretation here is the idea of trying to earn our way to heaven and that burden. But sometimes, once we've trusted Christ as our Savior, we can at times lack faith. And we can be burdened with fear, burdened with anxiety, burdened with doubt in God's love, burdened with doubt in God's sovereign control. And Christ would say, take my yoke upon you. Submit to me, submit to my sovereign control, and trust me in that sovereignty. Perhaps you're struggling during this time with fear and anxiety. And Christ would say, take my yoke of submission upon you and trust in my sovereign control. Perhaps you're struggling, even as a believer sometimes, with the burden of the guilt of sin. And Christ would say, take my yoke of submission upon you and trust in me, trust in my love, trust in my forgiveness, accept my forgiveness. Perhaps on this Mother's Day, some mothers are struggling with the burden of guilt that they feel as though they were a failure as a mother. Or perhaps they are just simply feeling like that they should have done better as a mother. And whether that's true or not true, that's not the point. The point is that we can lay that burden at the feet of Christ and at the foot of the cross. And we can receive and accept the forgiveness that we have through Jesus Christ, even if we have been a failure as a mother, or we haven't done as well as we should have as a mother. There's forgiveness. We can set that burden aside, and we can take on the yoke of submission and accept the forgiveness that God provides through Jesus Christ. And so we can set aside the burden of doubt, the burden of guilt, the burden of sin, the burden of self-effort, the burden of fear, the burden of anxiety, and we can indeed submit to the sovereign control of God. We can submit to His love and submit to His forgiveness. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And if we take that yoke of submission upon us, we find rest for our souls as we trust in a sovereign God who loves us. Not only is there a yoke of submission in these verses, but I believe there's also a yoke of service. A yoke of service. Again, as you think about the nature of a yoke, and why would you put a yoke on a team of oxen? You don't put that yoke on a team of oxen for those oxen then to lay down and rest. You put a yoke on a team of oxen so that they can work. That's the purpose of a yoke, so that you can do some work with that team of oxen. And so it almost seems like a contradiction here. Christ says, take my yoke upon you and you'll find rest. And yet a yoke is not a picture of rest. It's a picture of work. So what's Christ trying to say here? Well, in essence, he's saying, take the yoke of submission, trust in me, lay that burden of sin and guilt and self-effort aside and trust in me, and then you'll find rest for your soul. You'll have that confidence that you are a child of God. You'll have rest for your soul. But once we have taken on that yoke of submission, we find that rest to our soul, now it's time to serve our Lord. It's time to work for Him. We don't work for our salvation, but once we're saved, we do work for our Lord. We want to serve Him. It's not out of obligation so that we can do something that God can do something for us. We serve out of obligation so that God will save us. It's not that, but we do serve our Lord so that we can please Him out of a love for Him. And so that's the dichotomy that we often see in Scripture. You know, Scripture talks about prior to our salvation, we are slaves to sin. But then when we trust Christ as our Savior, we are freed from that slavery to sin. And yet the Bible also says we are to be slaves of righteousness. The Bible emphasizes that we are to be slaves of Jesus Christ. So yes, there's this dichotomy in Scripture. As we trust Christ as our Savior, we are freed from our slavery to sin so that we can become slaves of righteousness. We are freed from our slavery to sin so that we become slaves of Jesus Christ. But Christ says, as you become my slave, as opposed to the slavery to sin, that labor and heavy burden, that weariness and that exhaustion as we are slaves to sin, as we try to do better and try to earn our way to heaven, we can never have victory over sin. And it becomes that burden and that labor and that weariness. But Christ says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. We become slaves of Jesus Christ. We become slaves of righteousness so that we might serve Him. But it is not laborious work. It is not wearisome work. It is not a heavy burden to carry. It is easy. It is light. The word easy here is really a word that refers to that which is pleasing. When we have the right motive and the right goal, the work that we do for Christ is pleasing work. It's a joy to serve the Lord. See, when we're doing good works in order to earn our way to heaven, it becomes a burden. Because we just know that we're just never quite doing enough, and it becomes a burden with that sin and that guilt never taken away. But when we're doing good works because we love our Lord and because we want to bring glory to Him, it's pleasant work. It's a joy to serve the Lord, and it's not a heavy burden. In fact, we read in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, His commandments are not burdensome. And the whole difference comes down to what is our motive and what is our goal. If my motive is fear, it becomes a burden. If my motive is, or if my goal is to earn salvation, it becomes a burden. But when my motive is love for my Lord, when my goal is to bring glory to Him, it's no longer a burden. It's a joy to serve the Lord. And it's a light burden to serve Him. So it comes down to what is my motive and what is my goal. If my motive is love for the Lord and my goal is the glory of God, that yoke is easy. That yoke is light. Really comes down also to really, who am I serving? This is a yoke of service. Who am I serving? If I'm simply trying to please self, then I'm serving self. If I'm simply trying to please others, then I'm serving others. If I'm simply trying to please Christ out of a love for Him, then I become a servant of Jesus Christ. And so we need to ask ourselves the question, have I taken on the yoke of service, Christ's yoke of service? Am I serving Him? Am I striving to please Him? Not self, not others, but striving to please Him. As I strive to please others, I become their slave. As I strive to please Christ, I become His slave, and His yoke of service is easy. His yoke of service is light. Again, as we think of Mother's Day, often as parents and many times as mothers, we want others to think well of us. We want others to think we're being good parents. We want others to think that you're being a good mother. And nothing wrong with desiring that, but we need to be careful. If indeed our motive is simply what others might think of us, if our motive is simply, I want to do this, or I don't want to do this because of what others might think, will they think I'm a good mother, will they think I'm a bad mother? If that becomes our motive, then we end up being a servant of others. It's not about what others might think. If others think I'm a good mother or a bad mother, that's not the point. What does God think? What's His opinion? That's where we need to be serving and taking on this yoke of service. What does God believe? What does God think? We need to put on His yoke of service. You know, Colossians chapter 3 talks about everything we do, we're to do it in singleness of heart. That simply means that it needs to be, everything we do needs to be out of love for God. Our goal needs to be the glory of God. Everything needs to be done out of a passion for God. It's singleness of heart. Not distracted by what others might think. Not distracted by the opinion of others. But what does God think? What's His opinion? Am I serving Him out of love? Am I serving Him to glorify Him? Have I taken on His yoke of service? Whether others think you're a good mother or a bad mother is not the point. Their judgment really isn't what matters. God's judgment's what matters. It's what God desires. We need to serve Him out of singleness of heart. We need to take upon us the yoke of service. We also see then in these verses the yoke of study. The yoke of study. When you are trying to train a young ox how to use a yoke, you put them in a yoke with a trained ox, a more mature ox, one who has been trained. And that young ox, as it's yoked up with that mature trained ox, that mature trained ox teaches the young ox how to use this yoke and how to work with this yoke. And so when we think about Christ saying, take my yoke upon you, He's really saying, get yoked up with me so that I can train you, so that you can learn from me, as the verse says here. It's a yoke of study. We need to study Christ and we need to learn from Him. In fact, in this time, during the day in which Christ lived, it was often said that a student was to take on the yoke of the teacher. And so that's the picture that Christ paints here. He says, take my yoke upon you. I'm the teacher. Get yoked up with me and learn from me. And specifically, he says in verse 29, learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. He zeroes in on two characteristics that we need to learn from Him. Meekness and lowliness. Or perhaps your translation says gentleness and humility. Gentleness and humility. That's specifically what he's saying we need to learn from Him as we get yoked up with Him in this yoke of study. Meekness is a word that refers to gentleness, considerateness or courteousness. You've heard me use this definition many times when it comes to this word meekness or gentleness. Strength under control. Strength under control. Meekness, again, is not cowering in a corner. It's not weakness. It's strength under control. Strength to control our emotions so that we respond in gentleness and we are considerate of others and we are courteous of others. We're gentle, not like a bull in a china closet and not getting angry every time something doesn't go our way, but gentleness. We control that anger. It's strength under control, and we control that anger, and we respond in gentleness rather than in anger. Often we are not considerate of others. We don't care what others think. We don't care what others feel. and we just care about ourselves. We're very self-centered, and it's all about my feelings. And if I can feel better by doing something, even though it hurts you, it doesn't matter. As long as I feel better, we're not considerate of the feelings of others. Often we're not as courteous as we should be. By that I mean we're not always yielding to others. We demand our way. We demand our rights. And we don't care about the rights and opinions of others. And again, we're not talking about yielding to the sin of others. But just because somebody might do something a little different than we might do doesn't mean that they're wrong or doesn't mean that they're sinning. We can yield and be courteous to others and let them do it their way as opposed to demanding our way. And so this word meekness or gentleness, it's strength under control. It's the opposite of anger. It's the opposite of self-centeredness. It's the opposite of demanding our way. It's being gentle. It's being considerate. It's being courteous to others. Again, as I think of Mother's Day, can I challenge you, mothers? Are you learning from Christ what it means to be meek? Are you learning from Christ what it means to be gentle and considerate and courteous? Are you displaying Christ's likeness to your children so that they then can learn from you how to be gentle, how to be considerate, how to be courteous? Are your children seeing you responding often in anger and just yelling at them? Or are they seeing a Christ likeness when it comes to gentleness? Are your children seeing in you one who really is considerate about their feelings? Or simply self-centered, only concerned about how you feel? Are your children seeing one who is courteous and not always demanding your way, but allowing them to have some individualism to do things their way? Again, we're not talking about letting them do their own thing in their own sin. We're not talking about that. We're just saying that just because our children, I'm thinking more about our older children, our teenagers, they might want to do something a little differently than how we would do it. If it's not sinful, if it's not wrong, let them do it. Be considerate of the way they want to do it. You don't have to make a little clone of yourself and make them do it exactly how you would do it. They can have some individualism. We need to learn from Christ what it means to be meek, what it means to be gentle, considerate, courteous. And also he speaks here of lowliness of heart or simply the word humility. Christ is the perfect example of humility. We read in Philippians chapter 2 that we are to have the mind of Christ. And in that mind of Christ, we then see Christ was one of humility. It was a mind of humility as he left heaven. He's God, but he left heaven and he became a man. And not only man, but he became a servant to serve man. Even unto death, he served man. That's the humility of Christ, and we're to have that same mind of humility, a willingness to give up some of our comforts. He was enjoying the comforts of heaven. He's God. But he gave up those comforts of heaven, that equal manner of existence with the Father. And he came to this sinful world, and he served man, and he died for man. And we can surrender some of our comforts in order to serve others in humility. We have the mind of Christ. Pride, obviously, is the opposite of humility. And how often in our pride are we unwilling to acknowledge our own sin? How often in our pride do we become defensive when we're confronted with wrongdoing? Rather than admitting our wrong, rather than even apologizing for that which we've done, rather than confessing our sin, we're lifted up with pride. We get defensive. We don't acknowledge our sin. We don't confess our sin. And heaven forbid that I ever have to say I'm sorry. But Christ says we come and learn from Him what it is to be humble, not lifted up with pride. willing to acknowledge when we're wrong, willing to apologize when we're wrong, willing to confess our sin and recognize sin in our lives. Again, can I challenge you, mothers? Have you ever apologized to your children when you know you've done wrong? Have you ever admitted to them that you were wrong? Or do they simply see a defensiveness when they maybe want to ask you some questions, or if they maybe come to you and wonder why you did what you did? Again, I'm thinking more of our older children. Are we willing to admit, you know, you're right, I shouldn't have done it that way? I shouldn't have responded in anger. I apologize. Do we say I'm sorry to our children when necessary? Are we lifted up with pride? Have we learned from Christ what it means to be humble? Have we taken on his yoke of study? And so as Christ says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A yoke of submission. Submitting to him first for salvation as we find rest for our souls. As we lay aside that burden of sin and guilt and self-effort and doubt. But then we take upon ourselves the yoke of service. Serving our Lord with joy, because his yoke is easy, his yoke is light. We're not serving him in order to earn our salvation, in order to earn our way to heaven. We're serving him because we love him and we just want to bring glory to him. And then we take upon us the yoke of study. We want to learn all that we can from him. We want to truly be disciples of Jesus Christ. We want to be followers of Christ. We want to display meekness and humility. Have we taken on that yoke of submission, that yoke of service, that yoke of study? Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you so much again for the opportunity to study your word together. I pray that we would apply this word to our lives, that we would examine our hearts, that we would take on the yoke of Christ, that yoke of submission, service, and study, that we would indeed learn from him. And I pray, Father, for our mothers this day. May they have a great day as they would celebrate that special time in which we would honor them. And I pray, Father, that through this time, you indeed would be glorified. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, we are glad that you've joined us this morning. Just stay tuned as to how much longer we will be meeting in this way. It looks like it's going to be at least another week or two before we're going to be able to come together. We'll just continue to keep our eyes on that, continue to see what our state and our governor is saying, and we'll do our best to keep abreast and to let you know when we will be able to meet back together here again. So just keep tuning in. We'll be here again at 11 o'clock with his live streaming next Sunday, and then we'll go from there. So thank you very much. We're glad you've joined us. Have a great day. Happy Mother's Day. May God bless you.